Good evening, one and all. Welcome along. It is Tuesday night. As you can tell from the smile on Graham's face, it was a big night on Sunday night. Graham, how are things?
So sweet. just good to get one over on the Eagles. Quieting them down a little bit. Go back to the top of the division. Certainly the division in our hands. I don't know about the one seed. But hey, two seed sounds pretty good. I'll take that.
Yeah. It absolutely does. I mean, like it's great to see everyone is flying in with comments already. And Tim is saying he's been listening to the Eagles podcast crying. I mean, this definitely seems to be the narratives. They did not expect this beating on Sunday night.
No, see, the problem with it, the Eagles fans have is that they've had it their own way for most of the season. And for them to lose two games in a row, I think is just bringing them back down to earth a little bit. We obviously were hoping they would lose a little bit more. I mean, I think we can't underestimate how important Sunday night was, because if it goes the other way, it pretty much takes us out of the running for the division, because you'd expect the Eagles to finish the season strong. They've got the Giants twice. I think they've got the Commanders as well. Now, judging by the result the Giants had against the Packers, that's maybe not two gimmies like we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But they still have to go out and win that game. So, not saying that we have a clear run in. We have a very capable Bills team on Sunday. So, it just makes for an interesting run in to the end of the division. But at least it's in our hands. It's ours to throw away effectively.
It's not an easy run in for us either. Obviously, we have, as you said, we've the Bills, we've Miami, we have Detroit, and I think we've got to the Commanders. That's our last game, is it? I may be wrong on that one.
Bear with me. So we have the Bills on Sunday, Dolphins on Christmas Eve, and the Lions on New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not ideal. The Lions are starting to crack a little bit, though. We'll see how Jared Goff holds up. I did watch a little bit of the Lions on Sunday, and offensively, they didn't look too hot. I think Jared Goff still has the mistakes in him that made the Rams pull a trigger on the trade. So we'll see.
Yeah. And I mean, as we say, we love that the comments are flying in from people already. Mark Anthony saying, food for thought, Aubrey scored more points than the Philadelphia offense. He scored more points than the Philadelphia team on Sunday.
I quietly thought we would win the game. I didn't think we would hammer the Eagles the way we did.
I'm not going to lie. I know I told you guys I was starting a new job yesterday morning, so I didn't stay up. It's the most comfortable night's sleep I had, because I had a feeling we were going to thump them. And we did.
See, we're on cloud nine.
Yeah.
I get that. We're on cloud nine just now.
Yeah.
But we've been here before. the Arizona game still sits to the forefront of my mind. I can't remember how good a place we were in when we went to the 49ers, but I'm not saying it's going to be as big as that, but it's going to be a fairly decent challenge from the Bills. I mean, they'll have, quietly, they'll have Super Bowl aspirations as well. But Brandon Aubrey is just, is the most fantastic surprise we've had out of the offseason, I think. The same commentary, he's only missed 3 extra points all season and he's automatic on field goals.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that's superb. And his rookie season. I mean, I know he's the wrong side of 25, but it's still his rookie season.
Yeah. He's 30 for 30 on field goals. And I think, obviously, he had a 60 and a 59-yarder on Sunday. And I think it's the first time in NFL history, maybe I'm wrong on this, that a kicker has averaged over 50 yards for field goals in a game. I think I heard that somewhere. You know, like as you say, it's such a surprise and a great thing to have from a player.
Yeah. You see in the NFL nowadays, so many games won by one score, and it's so important that you kick your field goals and you manage your extra points. Ask the Packers how important field goals are from the game last night. For those that don't know, the Giants won it in the last 40 seconds.
Yeah,
by kicking out a game-winning field goal. Makes a huge difference, and there are so many teams that don't have one. I know the Rams have brought in a positional challenge. His name escapes me. Ex Packers kicker.
They actually cut him in the last half hour.
Did they?
Yeah, cut Mason Crosby. Yeah,
Mason Crosby. That's the one. But they bring in Crosby and all of a sudden the kicker is back to his old self and does well. Some rise to the challenge, some wilt underneath it. So, delighted for Aubrey. Fantastic.
Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic to see. And I mean, as we say, look, the stats are kind of rolling through the bottom of the screen. You know, 33-13 win, 94,000 at the game. We're now top of the NFC East. I think the unfortunate thing is, even if we win out, there's a possibility we don't get the number one seed. You know, if that team is just beaten wins out, they get ahead of us.
But the 2 seed is a lot better than the 5.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Yeah,
you never know. I mean, they say that's why they play the games. It's not one on paper. That's why they play the games. It's not all stats based. Most of the teams can beat anybody on the day. I mean, we all remember us slipping up to the Cardinals earlier in the season, and we thought the sky was falling. We'll see how it goes.
And I mean, that was when the talk was Mike McCarthy's ass was red hot on the seat. I think given what Mike McCarthy went through last week in terms of, you know, an emergency appendicitis operation, like I've been there, that is not an easy recovery.
No.
And he was back on sideline for Sunday.
I hope never to follow in his footsteps after.
Very good. I just want to pull up something here from Joe, because this has been a bit of news in Ireland today. So he says, I can see every team signing soccer players next year. And our national game here in Ireland is hurling and Gaelic football. And 2 of our Gaelic footballers are actually heading to the Combine in Indianapolis next year to try out as kickers. And I think one of the new directives is that you have to have at least one player from the overseas, whatever you want to call it, the portal or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
the
like
program.
The college, yeah, the college teams are big on getting punters from Australia. And now, like that, we see the soccer guys who are kicking, the Gaelic football guys. You might see a couple of rugby guys. And we're going to add in Mr. Stewart. How are things?
And the words of Degeneration X, I've got two words for you, Eagles fans. Suck it.
We can't get a better introduction than that, Paul.
I've been thinking about it all day, to be honest. I could have thought something a bit more sinister, but nah, we need to keep ourselves up to a high standard. So I thought, why not do some WWE promo here? So why the hell not? But yeah, it feels great to actually shut those absolute trash bags in the mouth. It really does feel amazing. Like all this talk saying, oh yeah, Jalen Hurts MVP, mate, go and suck a bag of beep.
You know, I don't know if you get the show or not, Brian, but I can't remember the exact name of the show, but ITV do a show with Umunura and
Jason Bell.
Have you seen it? Go and watch OC Umunura talk about the Eagles. He literally refers to them as trash on national television. You'll be able to go on YouTube for international viewers. Go on YouTube and type in Umunura Eagles trash, and I'm sure you'll find it somewhere.
We need to find it and post it on the social media post. We need to do that.
It's superb. Yeah. It's so
I'll tell you what's funny. I'm sorry, I'm pure hijacked the situation here. Right, so... Did anyone see LeSean McCoy's take after the Eagles loss?
What was it this time?
Yeah.
So it's okay for the Eagles to now go out and play teams under 500 now, apparently. How ironic! How ironic! What an absolute imbecile! Who would have thought?
The funny thing is, Paul, I went to look at this last week and I didn't get fully round to it. But if you look at their record, most of the teams they beat are below 500. I think with the exception of ourselves, and we were barely 500 at that point. I think were we 3-3 heading there? Or were we maybe 4-3?
Well, when we played the Eagles, oh no, we still had a running record. We were something in two, so... We had a five game win streak, so it would have been 5-2.
5-2, yeah. But like they, bar that win, they were pretty much playing teams in and around the 500 mark as well.
And let's not forget, right? The whole Buffalo game was an absolute crap piece of officiating.
Yeah,
like that horse collar call, etc. And the Kansas City, they were lucky to, like, whoever the right receiver is. I don't know if it was Juju. Is it Schuster? Was it him or is it somebody else?
Was Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
That's the one. Yeah, like, he had the golden opportunity to win the game and just didn't catch it. And it seems to be the same problem with, well, I know I'm jumping onto the Kansas City right now, but they've just got problems with right receiver on their own, having right receivers that can't even line up in the neutral zone properly. And yet you've got Patrick Mahomes crying like an absolute boohoo Wayne. I mean, what the hell's going on? This is supposed to be the MVP of the league, and it's acting like that? Please.
Yeah. But, Paul, we've actually spent the first, I suppose, 10 minutes praising your favourite man in the world right now. And we'd love to get your thoughts on his performance on Sunday night.
Oh, Brandon Aubrey?
Yes.
In Aubrey we trust, in Aubrey we trust. Absolutely, man. 30 out of 30 field goals, man. A rookie. Yeah. His first ever year playing in the NFL, he's only played, 2 years in the USFL or XFL, wherever it was, and he just took us, and he was a software developer, like me and Graham. So, but Who would have thought? Like this, like the biggest quim we've had over the past couple of years, like it's been the kicking situation where you had Brett Maher, you had Licks of Greg DeLeg, etc., Hakai Forbath, you name it, or going all the way back to Dan Bailey. And we've never managed to fix that situation properly. We tried to give a bigger
You left out one kicker.
Oh, the goat. Well, to be fair, he is one for one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't forget Mr. Jeff Heath. I can't forget him. I can't. But aye. Saying that, I was at that game. What am I talking about?
We had to get that in there. But, I mean, if we kind of look at things from Sunday, I mean, one of the things that stood out for me from Sunday is the impact that Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore are now having on this team. You know, it's taken a little while, and it's not to say that they weren't contributing previously, but they're really stepping up now.
I've got a great analogy for this, Brian. It's like the tortoise versus the hare right now.
Yeah.
Like, we're having a slow start, but the hare, which has been the Eagles, are they're burning themselves out right now, essentially. That's exactly what's happening right now. And we're now fully starting to pick up the pace. Like, maybe not in a tortoise race, whatever, but you get what I mean. It's like we're finally understanding how this Texas Coast, West Coast offense works. We're finding out how players are best suited into this offensive scheme. And we're seeing it week by week now. It's just getting better and better. So, and at the stage of where we are right now in the season, it could not come at a better time. So, and if you were to say that to me five, 6 weeks ago, I would have been as, if we make the playoffs, great. But now I'm feeling more comfortable, like going into these playoffs. Like, if we were to play San Francisco again, like, by all means, I think, as long as our defense are on top, I think offensively we can be a lot better this time against them.
Yeah, it's just a shame that the brotherly shove doesn't play defense.
I'll tell you this though, Graham, right? So I know we've talked about in like post games and pre games about the Eagles and stuff about this brotherly shove, but we have talked about there is ways you can stop it by the rugby scrum. But in saying that, Jason Kelce is going to get himself an early retirement if he keeps on doing it, because it's not going to be fun for him.
No,
getting his head impacted into down to the ground every single time. Like, I'm surprised he's actually walking about with no concussion from every time he does the brotherly shove. I'm pretty surprised. Something to think about, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like everything else. Somebody will find a way to beat it.
Washington did.
Yeah, exactly. The Wildcat, now extinct. Well, almost extinct, because teams wise up to it.
Yeah. But one of the other things, obviously, coming out of the game is, you know, Dak is now leading the race for the MVP. There were plenty of MVP chants heard around AT&T Stadium on Sunday night.
So is Eagle Sucks.
And Sucks Eagle Sucks. And Micah Parsons is obviously leading the race for Defensive Player of the Year. And I mean, Brandon Aubrey has surely got to be in with a shout of Special Teams Player of the Year.
Is there an award for that?
Yep.
Is there?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like there should be no doubt about it. The guy's like so automatic right now. I mean, I think he's only missed one extra point. Sorry, two extra points.
Three
extra points he's missed, and unstoppable when it comes to the field goals. He hit a 60, hit a 59, a 55, and a 45, I believe. But just unbelievable, like. For him to come to a team like Dallas, right, knowing that we've had kicking troubles in the past, to remain composed and execute the way Brandon Aubrey is going, I'm going to say it right here, right now, that is going to be my next Cowboys jersey, is Brandon Aubrey. No, I'm being serious. I do not normally go do that route, but yeah. I'm loving it. Every time Aubie's on the field, I just feel so confident that he's going to make it every time. Like, I don't have that worry about field goals anymore. It's not like when we're like when you have Brett Maher during the regular season, absolutely fine. But when it came to Brett Maher postseason, you were literally losing more hair on your hairline. Literally, like you couldn't. I couldn't go any more bald if I want to right now.
Yeah, but just to tack on to what Paul was saying, to do it on Sunday night is Sunday night football as well. America watching, the world watching, and to go and nail 2 over 50, that's superb.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yep. And kind of going back to Dak, like the MVP status, right? Let's be honest, the past 6 weeks, including the loss to the Eagles game, Dak was the best player in that game. But ever since then, Dak has been on a tear. Like two interceptions, 20 plus touchdowns, his passer ratings through the roof. Whatever quarterback is doing that right now? No one, right? You've got Mahomes and La La Land with his wide receivers. You've got Josh Allen who can barely get a win together sometimes. You can, like, the only quarterback I could actually, I was going to say Tua because they lost yesterday, but, and now Jalen Hurts. Who, frankly, I think is a fraud. I'm being serious because this whole talk about Jalen Hurts should be an MVP, blah 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 blah. It's like, but what has he actually done? But just run the. It's not made the big impact plays like your Mahomes or like. It's not a game changing quarterback. He's not.
Yeah,
that's the difference. Yeah. Like the MVP is supposed to be who is the game changer, and normally it should be like a quarterback based awards normally. But the biggest difference, Dak has been a game changer for our offense for the past 6 weeks. He's completely turned different from the rounds.
Yeah.
And Justin Herbert's out for the season as well now.
Oh. Yeah.
See, go and Google later. Google later, list of quarterbacks out for the season.
Because you've got Burrow, you've got Herbert.
Quite incredible.
It's scary. Like, yeah. It's frankly like Watson's out as well for Cleveland as well, isn't it?
Because
Joe Flacco's now playing for him. Aaron Rodgers might be coming back at one or two games end of the year. That's a rumor, but still, like the list is ridiculous this year.
Yeah.
So and
as well.
And to be fair though, Brock Purdy has been pretty good, but I would say he's just fitting. I wouldn't say he's a game changing quarterback. He's just fitting the system. Like he's letting the other players do all the hard work. It'll be the handoff to McCaffrey. It'll be like a jet sweep to Deebo Samuel, pretty much, or the slant to George Kittle or whatever. That it's no. When have you actually seen Purdy go the deep route, making a game changing play? I haven't really seen that from Purdy. So even though his stats look impressive on paper, and he may have one or two stats better than Dak, but I wouldn't say he is a more of a game-changing player to actually flip the game around to win it for you.
I would put him in between that, and I think he's better than a game manager. Like he can make the throws better than a game manager, but like you're saying, he's not. I wouldn't like to see Purdy run a 2-minute offense. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
When it's on the line.
Before we flip it over and talk about the offense and defense in this game, I think it was, I know you guys touched on this on Thursday's show, Paul, but I mean, Shaq Leonard, it was obvious he was going to the Eagles all along, but
that worked out well.
One tackle on Sunday night, that was it. I mean,
it was kind of expected for him to only make small contribution, him only in the team for a week. Well, less than a week, sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, the Colts didn't cut him because he's a pro bowler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if he's a pro bowler, he's still on the Colts. If he's a star, he's still on the Colts. There's a reason why the Colts cut him. It's not like, let's get rid of all our starters and go for the first overall. They cut him because he's a declining player. I mean, I'm not saying that to be nasty or anything. I'm not bitter because he chose the Eagles. I'm just saying, like, it's only Shaq Leonard. It's not like Micah Parsons 2.0 that we missed out on.
Graham, you've always have this saying. It's like whenever I think it's either you or Mike. It always says that whenever a team cuts a player, they do it for a reason, and some other team is picking up their garbage, essentially.
Yeah, I mean,
like, but don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Leonard is garbage. I still think he's a good player.
Yeah,
I think he will contribute to the Sheagles by any means, but I think it may be a bit too late for this season to get him involved. If that makes makes sense.
Yeah. He's the type of player you put into a rotation.
Yeah,
you're not gonna ask him to play 70% of snaps.
No,
for instance.
No.
You're definitely going to want him in on third down in nickel. That's kind of where you're wanting him, and maybe second down when it's second and long. But you're not looking to have him in rushing the passer or anything like that. But look, as we always say, look, we love the comments flying in. And Kent, it's great to have you with us. Hello from all of us over here in the UK as well, and Ireland as well.
Hell yes. It's great
to join us.
Welcome, Kent. Welcome to the UK Cowboys. Hope you're doing very well, sir. So welcome.
But look, I'm just trying to get to the banners. But I mean, if we flip it over and let's talk about the offense. And Joe has a comment here. I was waiting to come to it. Dak's deep throw to Gallup was beautiful. Kudos to Gallup. Like, Michael Gallup laid out for that ball. He's not had a great season, but in moments, he has done some very good things for us this season.
See, this is where I'm talking about game-changing moments. This is where the Dak to Gallup situation really comes into effect. Like, whenever Gallup gets the ball, it's a significant move. Like, it's like it may be like a 3rd and 15, and like we're on under pressure and stuff like that. And Gallup is there to make those big plays. He is that guy. Like, it just seems to be there at the right time when we desperately need him, when Lamb's getting double coverage or something like that. So I think Gallup, like you're saying, like, he may be having the best of season, even though he's just signed that contract, was it last year?
Yeah.
Like, we are expecting more of him. And obviously we've brought in Cooks as well. So I just think the more opportunities in terms of those scenarios, I think that's where Gallup is pretty going to be really going to be the target, really. So, but I'm happy with the situation with Gallup right now. Obviously, early on in the season, he did have drop passes, stuff like that. To be fair, we still do have that problem in some regard, where quite a lot of the guys, like the tight ends, like Ferguson, the Shoemaker, etc., But I'm not worried at all. It seems like as we get into the rhythm of the game, especially in the past 6 weeks, it just unfolds itself, and we end up just go out and absolutely dominate and just absolutely put the pressure on to the opposing team, whoever that may be.
We'll hopefully start to
see the kind of the end of the psychology around Michael Gallup's injury. You know, you just wonder if his mind is constantly on that part of the body. Was it an ACL?
Yeah.
Was it a knee?
I think it was an
knee. Yeah.
It was the knee, yeah.
You know, twisting and turning and all that kind of stuff. It obviously takes some players longer than others. Like during the season, September, October, we were obviously needing a little bit more from him. Couple of drop passes, couple of balls hit him in the number, and I think he juggled a couple, turned into interceptions. Not necessarily Dak's fault a lot of the time, but if he's gonna progress, hopefully we'll see more spectacular catches. Because like you're saying, Paul, if you were to name a Cowboys receiver to toe drag on a 30 yard out ball, it's going to be Michael Gallup. It's going to be the spectacular catch that, 13's most likely to make. So he's maybe not the kind of number one receiver that we hoped he would be, but he's not being paid as such like that. So I think there's going to be some discussions around that in the off season. But right yeah. now we're in season. We're doing well at wide receiver. So hopefully just it can continue.
Can I just add something as well? I know I'm kind of going off topic there, but we've got four games remaining left, right?
Yeah.
If Tony Pollard is to get 52 yards average for the next four games, he will have a 1,000-yard season.
Rushing?
Rushing.
Wow.
He's 796 right now.
I did not see that coming.
Four games away. I was blown away by that. I just brought up the stat sheet just there, and I'm actually really surprised. Mm-hmm. But and yeah, like who would have thought?
Yeah.
Despite our problems with our running game at the earlier part of the season, our running game in this game, even though the stats don't really kind of look great, it still. Like, we didn't get, like, I think it was over 100 yards. I don't think we get over 100 yards or something like that. But either way, but the run looked very ferocious. We looked we ran with a purpose in that game. So I think if we were to go against a more weaker defensive line and have that same intensity, I think you would see a completely different outcome. We'd be absolutely running pretty much non-stop. We might not have to throw the ball in some aspects, because who have we got left? We've got Buffalo, we've got Miami, and we've got Washington, and who's the other one?
The Lions.
Yeah. So it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out.
Sorry, Graham, I wanted to come back to you on this one. Mark Anthony put it in here. It's your favourite topic of all time. Shout out to the O-line. Sitting Tyron Smith during the week is looking like a genius move right now. I mean, you and Rich, as I say, you guys love looking at the O-line and what's going on there. And, you know, you've been crying out for help. But this seems to be working right now, what they're doing in terms of managing Tyron's workload. I mean, I think the best thing for all of us would be to see him just manage like that for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Come on, guys. We've been here a million times before. Let's not beat around the bush. We've been here for the last five seasons. We have been managing Tyron's workload for some time now.
Well, not to that extent, no, Graham, must be fair. Like missing practices and stuff like that. No, like we didn't really do that with Tyron for the past couple of years. Like we just like if Tyron's fit, then get him back into practice essentially. But this is like the first time I've seen it. Like regardless, if Tyron's got a wee niggle, let him rest and make sure he's ready for the game. I'm up. Sweet, cool.
I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. That's as far as I'll go.
You're not the only one, man. You're not the only one.
But okay, so moving along swiftly, and again, Mark Anthony. Mark isn't the only one who's commenting. It's just some of the flow that we had planned for tonight. He's nailing it as he always seems to do. Fergalicious, his attitude and play is hyping up the team in a very positive way.
Fair Gale.
I thought Chris Collinsworth made an interesting comment when he said that Ferguson's quickly developing into one of the team enforcers. If you go after somebody on offense, 87's going to be in your face pretty quickly. And I like that.
He's our number two target right now, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like there's a little bit of nasty to Ferguson. And Collinsworth may have been getting a little bit carried away, but he did bring up the Witten comment.
You can't take the boy out of Wisconsin. That's what I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
He did bring up the Witten comment. I hope he's right. but I'm not ready to put that amount of pressure onto Ferguson just yet.
I mean, he is playing like a tight end number one right now. He really is. Like, he's
absolutely, without a shadow of doubt.
570 yards. He's averaging 11.2 yards per game with 5 touchdowns. I mean, that's right up there. Like, I don't even think Kelsey's got, 5 touchdowns this year? I don't think.
I don't believe he has. And I mean,
I'll fact check that right now.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is with Travis Kelsey is not a tight end. He's just
gonna
a big wide
receiver. I'm going to ask the Swifties. They'll know all about that. I can't wait till she dumps him to get this sucker.
The whole album cover will be a Kansas City logo.
Do you know, I bet Chiefs fans can't wait till she dumps him, because they can get back to watching what's actually happening on the field as opposed to her box.
Yeah.
Right, so I've got the stats here. So even though Kelsey has been targeted more times and has more passing yards, he's got the same average and the same number of touchdowns as Jake Ferguson right now.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. And as I say, like, he's a big body wide receiver. He does not play in line, which Ferguson is doing. You're not going to see him jumping in to defend a lineman if there's someone picking on a wide receiver. You're not going to see Kelsey getting involved in that, whereas you see Ferguson doing it and trying to intimidate opposing players.
Nah, not at all.
But another guy, sorry, I'm just trying to find the comment here, that deserves a little bit of credit. Rico Dowdle, again. Yes. He's gotten over his ankle injury. He's now getting a lot more snaps on offense in terms of rushing. He's getting 10-plus rushes a game. And he seems to be that bit more impactful. You know, it's that thunder and lightning that we always talk about in the run game. And I was delighted to see that they left him in for that 1 yard goal, that they didn't try and get smart or get cute, because that was what they did last year. And it didn't work. They just were giving it to the guy and let him thump it across the line.
Absolutely. I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, he's got the same average as Pollard right now. Obviously, the big difference right now is the number of carries compared. Like, Pollard's almost at 200 carries this year compared to Dowdle's 75. So a big drop-off point. So in terms of, like, distribution to who's going to be rushing the ball, but stats-wise, in terms of doing the average, it's almost exactly the same. Like, obviously, touchdown-wise is a big factor. Pollard's got 5 and Dowdle's got two. But other than that, it's working right now. It's like what Mark Anthony is saying there. It's like the situational players are now starting to come in when it really matters right now. It's at this tail part, the end of the season, where the other teams are starting to burn out a little bit. They are trying to try and get the head start, try and get the bigger record. They're going into the end, but it's like this—it's like the hare and tortoise scenario I was just telling you about. It's like we are slowly creeping up to try and win this race, whereas all the other guys are caught lacking, and that's exactly what's happening right now.
Yeah, guys, I'm seeing a couple of comments in here, and I know we're not moving over to defense yet, but Jonathan Hankins is out.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about this. I don't know if either of you have heard or know anything about this.
It's a high ankle sprain.
Okay.
So that tends to be out for the season.
Yeah.
You never know. You know, if we end up picking at 32, it might not be. You never know. we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, Joe is kind of asking, should we bring in Ndamukong and Sue? I don't know what you guys think about that. Or, you know, should we just go with our first round pick?
That would be nice. Yeah.
There's rotation. I mean, definitely. I think from a learning point of view as well, Mazi Smith could learn something from Sue. Like it's all about getting knowledge, like learning from other players. Like you saw what Lamb learned from Amari Cooper and then how he's developed his game now. You're seeing it with other players, etc. So I don't see why not. I don't see any harm in it. Like obviously Sue comes in with a lot with a high profile, like notorious of being a dirty player from time to time. When he was at Detroit, and yeah, he did play for the team based in Philadelphia. Yes, he did play for them. But still, he is a Super Bowl winner with Tampa Bay. Let's not forget that. He did. I mean, I know he's doing the broadcasting for Sky Sports, but I don't think he would be in any hurry to come back. I don't think he'll be game ready, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. I like the idea of it, but I don't think Sue himself is ready to like make a forward, like just immediately get on the jet plane, come to Dallas and expect to ball out. I don't think that would be the case.
He'll come with a price tag as well.
Not at his
age, though, I don't think.
But he's not coming in for a rookie league minimum.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him as that type of player.
You're right, yeah.
In my eyes, he's spent all season, him and his agent have spent all season waiting on a number. As soon as somebody offers me X million dollars for the rest of the season, I won't play for them. I don't know. There's a reason why he's unsigned. That's just what I keep thinking.
It could be right, actually. It could be the fact that he's just priced himself out.
And Elizabeth is definitely playing to your ears, Paul. She's saying she's just like Gilly to step up. Oh, sorry. No, sorry. I misread that.
Aye, Stephen Gilmore.
Yeah. I meant that was meant.
How silly of AJ Brown. How silly of him.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the offense, guys, is there anything else you want to talk about before we flip over and talk about the defensive side of the ball?
How much of a baller that CD Lamb is? No, let's be honest. He's now leading the league right now in terms of passing yards. He's now taking the throne for that.
Is he?
Yeah, he's top. He's number one.
Is he ahead of Tyreek Hill?
Oh no! Sorry. I stand corrected. Sorry, he's third. Sorry, it was just one of the stats that did say he was first, but I think I didn't update after the Miami game, so my apologies. So yeah, so it's Hill, then it's Brown, then it's Lamb.
His agent was rubbing his hands together on Sunday night. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he's only 5 yards behind.
Boys' price just went up.
Let's not talk about salary cap at this stage of the season.
We're enjoying ourselves. I'll stay away from that.
Let's just focus on that in the postseason, please.
There is an article to come on that. I am trying to get time to work on it, and I'll hopefully have it out by this weekend. In terms of some of the deals and comings and goings that need to happen in this off season, but Elizabeth is actually giving us something to talk about on offense. It's a guy I've crapped all over all season, but look, I'll give his dues. Tyler Biadasz and Pollard are blocking much better.
Oh yeah, I never thought I would ever thought Pollard would be better at the blocking side of the last line of defense.
Yeah,
and again, like it's like the past five games, the O-line have really stepped up. Don't get me wrong, we're still making silly mistakes. But it's more on likes a Steele and likes a Tyler Smith. Still, they're still pretty raw in my opinion. But likes a Bayada, she's been phenomenal the past 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, credit is due.
Yeah, for sure. So
it was. I mean, it was one of the things that had a the pass blocking. For Tony Pollard, that was basically one of the things that was keeping him back from being a number one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I think he himself is trying to answer those questions before the off season comes up again. The more blocking he can put on tape for him personally, just pushes his cap number up.
Yeah.
we'll have that discussion again in the off season, whether he's a Cowboy or not, whether they want to extend him or not. That's another discussion.
He is making the debate now. It's like, do we retain him for next year? He's now making us rethink that question now.
I mean, there's only so many holes we can fill.
I know, that's the problem.
So you're going left tackle. What do we do at left tackle? Do we re-sign Biadasz? Do we re-sign Pollard? Do we keep CeeDee Lamb around?
Extend Parsons.
Yeah, we can't just say goodbye to all of them. We have to keep some of them around.
And if we do win the Super Bowl, then there's the possible extension of Dak's contract as well.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, so like I said, let's just screw about the contract talks and we'll move on, because it's going to make us very depressed thinking about it. This is a happy moment here, guys. The fact that we beat the Eagles after all the bickering and smack talk, they can finally shut the hell up, and we actually shown them of how much of the frauds that they finally are.
Yeah.
There we go. Back in schedule.
The offensive stats are kind of rolling through the bottom of the screen there, guys. And I mean, like, with 24 first downs, we were 9-16 on third down, 1-1 on fourth down. The penalty count was down. We were 3-3 in the red zone. I mean, is it now that the case that the Texas Coast offense has sorted out those teething problems? It's kicked the dirty petrol out. And we're now starting to cook on gas.
It's good for Dak's turnover ratio.
Yeah.
The new West Coast stuff. Again, they brought it up in commentary on Sunday night. It's your first read, your second read, and then you're on a bootleg. You're going left or you're going right or somewhere, and you're looking for another opportunity. I don't know. Like, Dak's interception rate is way down. Mm-hmm. His touchdown rate is through the roof. Mm-hmm. You know, he will be going to the Pro Bowl. Hopefully he doesn't play in the Pro Bowl. We all know why. I won't say it, but we all know why. But he's definitely going to the Pro Bowl without a shadow of doubt. it's been good for him. It really has been good for him.
I'm gonna throw an RV stat in here for you guys. Who's got the most interceptions in the league right now? Well, in fact, who at the bottom five has the most interceptions in the league? Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes are in the bottom five
in
interceptions this year. Dak Prescott is pretty much number one in terms of active quarterbacks. Like, I'm looking at the list right here. It's giving me Tyler Heineke because he's only played 3 games. But in terms of the whole perspective, who's played all 13 games, essentially, mm-hmm. Dak is number one.
Yeah.
His touchdowns make the biggest noise. They hit most of the discussions. It really is unfair at times. I mean, I haven't seen the huge backlash on Jalen Hurts. I don't know if you guys have seen any, but...
No, they won't do it, Chris. It doesn't make news headlines, Graham. That's
why. Of course it doesn't.
Like, it's... you've got your dancing clown on Fox, like, basically just kind of, like, shrugging it off. Says, oh, yeah, we'll be fine, whatever, or not, whatever. But yeah, whenever Dak makes one mistake, it's national news. It's it's biased media.
Isn't Stephen A. Smith on ESPN?
No, I'm not talking about Stephen A. I'm talking about somebody else.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about.
We know.
But I will give Stephen A. Smith his due. He did come out and say and actually admitted that they do use the Cowboys for clicks. But also, he's actually given the Cowboys their due. He's got them as the second best team that was before the Eagles game.
Yeah.
Where does he rank them now and during this week? Mm-hmm. That remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's banged to rights. There's not much else he can do.
They're all backed against the wall. They have no option but to say Dallas deserved to be there because they do.
But yeah. What you said about the clicks is absolutely right. You know, they, of course they do. They say silly, antagonistic things about the Cowboys because it gets the clicks. I mean, it's a shame that proper sports journalism is out the window if you can get your click rate up. It's quite sad.
Yeah.
It's lazy journalism, end of the day.
So we're going to flick over onto defense. And, Paul, I couldn't start anywhere else other than the fact Lane Johnson got penalty calls.
My God, I thought I was having a heart attack because I couldn't believe it. What the hell?
And he got a bloody nose into the bargain.
The most, like, I've never through that, like, honestly, right, don't get me wrong, like, Lane Johnson is a good offensive lineman, but I've never seen an offensive lineman that has actually jumped before the snap count, but never ever get called. When they actually did throw the flag on it, I was in shock. I was like, oh my God, they finally did it. It's like us training up for a number one draft pick. Oh my God, we did it. It was like that's how shocked I was. Like, I'm not joking, but he had a chance throw. And the fact is, like, who, again, going back to LeSean McCoy, he said, oh yeah, AJ Brown's gonna have a good game. Fumbled. They had Devante Smith who was gonna have a good game. Fumbled. They had said that, oh yeah, Jalen Hurst is gonna dominate this game. Fumbled. No touchdowns. Right? And they also, we've got one of the best tackles in the league, Lane Johnson, who got pressured and actually got bloody Jalen Hurts sacked. Boom. Bye. Sorry. I had to.
And this, folks, is Paul's audition tape for when he moves to Dallas.
That one's been bubbling away since Monday morning.
You goddamn rat.
But I mean, like, in terms of the defense, like, this defense did not allow Philadelphia into the red zone once in this game. One time, and they fumbled.
But that ended up being a fumble, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So technically, you're all right, Brian. You're right. Like, they didn't have a snap in the red zone, if that makes sense. But they did manage to get there, but they screwed the pooch.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It follows the same model as all mobile quarterbacks. Sooner or later, they get figured out because the arm talent isn't there. So eventually, they have to rely on their arm because you keep them in the box where they don't like to be, and Jalen Hurts is going to be no different. I mean, think of the mobile quarterbacks over the years. None of them win Super Bowls.
Nope.
You know, Cam Newton,
Michael Vick.
Kyler Murray only just come back from injury. Why? Because he's been running for his life. They get figured out, and I think Jalen Hurts is he's headed the exact same way because there's now game tape on how to keep the Eagles under 14 points under two scores. Mm-hmm. Think of the amount of ways the Eagles have been moving the ball and scoring points all season long.
Yeah,
and they got found out on Sunday night. So, Kyle Shanahan has watched the Sunday night game twice already. I guarantee you. He's watched the Eagles twice and he's watched us twice. The tape's there. Everybody's going to follow it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put a bold, I mean very bold bet on this, right? And you guys are going to be shortlist. I reckon the Giants are going to cause a massive upset against Philadelphia when it comes to at MetLife Stadium. I think it's all about the Danny DeVito.
I let me pull up the comment, but I know Kent did mention this. He said, I think they'll split the series. Yeah. Said here, with the New York Giants win, wondering if they finish strong and at least split the series with the Eagles.
Well, if the Eagles lose one NFC game, then it's going to be, I think it would actually have to be based on head-to-head. We've got the better head-to-head ratio then, if that's the case, based on points average. So it would be us. We would be the top team in that regard, if that was the case. So we're good in that department now, because the first game was 4 points to the Eagles compared to our 20. So we're 16 plus in terms of the head-to-head difference. So we're fine there. So if it does go to a split, then happy days.
Yeah. And what I'm seeing here from a lot of people is, and it is a fair point, the Eagles have barely beaten the Commanders both times. And I did see a stat yesterday, and it basically showed that our points differential is almost plus 200. The 49ers is pretty close to that as well. And Philly's is less than 30. That is what their points differential is. And I mean, we've all kind of said here on the show, is this the worst 10-3 team you've seen, or 9-2, or whatever they were at? You know, and now it's starting to show itself that they possibly are.
I've been seeing this for weeks. Like, yeah, they might be 10-3, but they certainly don't play like it. Like, again, when you look back to the Buffalo game, the Washington games, that even the Patriots game early on in the season, they struggled. Like if there's one thing that you would give the Eagles some credit for, it's like they had a fight in them. They knew how to fight back and actually crawl to scrape. And I mean straight by the barrel of getting those wins. They've not once shut out a team this year. Not once. So
yeah,
I just find it absolutely mind-boggling how a team like that has a record like that. But again, that's football, I guess. But at the same time, it's like that. If that's the way they're playing, they're not going to survive in the playoffs. And I can't even pronounce his surname. He's on speak with McCoy and Joy Taylor and that. Acho.
Yeah.
Like he made a really
Manuel Acho.
Yeah, he made a really good point. It's like, the team last year, like for the Eagles, are a completely different team to this year.
Yeah.
Like, it's like I'm saying, I think they've burned themselves out massively. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Jason Kelce is not gonna, like, he's lucky he came back this year. Like, he was thinking about retiring after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's trying to come back and see if he's got one more in him. What's going to happen next year when you don't have your all-time pro center there anymore?
Yeah, it's true. Graham, I'm going to throw this one to you. Mark Anthony has asked me to pull up a comment from earlier, and he said, in this comment, he said, everyone except for me gave the wins to Philly for their upcoming game against the Giants. Vito Corleone might have something to say about that. Fudged about.
Forget about it. I don't know why I'm bloody kind of upping the Giants. I shouldn't be doing this. They're bloody rivals. What's wrong with me? I guess anything to beat that lot from Philadelphia, I guess.
Exactly. Still. We share a common interest. That's why you're bringing them up. I don't know. There's something about DeVito.
Yeah.
If I was Daniel Jones, I would be having a few sleepless nights at the minute.
I'll say this now, Graham. I think Jones is done for the Giants. I think they will move on from him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
they don't have the cap space too.
They're going to have to pay them or something, but
like
they've
him and Barkley to sort out.
Yeah, Barkley, I think they will probably retain, but Jones, man, if I was a Giants fan, I'd be buying my head. I'll be putting my head in the dirt for the next couple of years because you just don't know what's going to happen. Because you don't want a quarterback on that type of money just sitting on the bench because of concussion protocol. Because let's be honest, like Jones, and this kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier about running quarterbacks. If there's one thing Daniel Jones did do well was the run play option.
Yeah.
But it's came back to bite him in the butt. And now he's paying the full price on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if there's anything spectacular about DeVito, but I've just brought up his stats from the Green Bay win. Let's be fair to them, that Green Bay defense are no mugs. It's a pretty good defense in Green Bay. 17 completions from 21 attempts. That means the ball hit the dirt four times the entire game. Only for 158 yards, but they still put up a 24-point win. One touchdown, no interceptions. So he's taking care of the ball.
Yeah.
Is he a game manager? Don't know. We'll soon find out. It's still a really small sample size. But, Daniel Jones, I'd be worried.
I think that's the thing with likes of DeVito, though. He's still a big unknown. You just don't know too much about him. Like, he came from a small school, I believe.
From one of the Ivy League schools, I believe.
Yeah, and he's just managed to walk in and just like captivate their franchise just overnight. I have to say though, before we kind of go back to Tottenham Covers, did anyone see the like Coming to America video of Eddie Murphy?
No,
there's a scene in Coming into America. It actually outlines exactly what happens. Yes, the Giants of New York beat the Packers of Green Bay, and they had to kick this liver pigskin ball between two goalposts. It was very captivating. I was absolutely gone and laughing my ass off like that. I had to send it to my friend Thomas, who's a Packers fan, I not for one trash talk to him because I respect him for quite a lot, but I do apologize, but I do find this absolutely hilarious. So, and he's actually, I do quite see the funny side of it, as long as you're not actually being an actual troll and being like your typical fan, essentially. The only people ever do it to his Eagles fans, essentially.
As we always kind of say here, Paul and Graham, we've a great relationship with the UK Giants. Yeah. And, you know, anything we say here, the UK Giants take it exactly as we intended. They know we're not trying to shit talk them or anything like that. We're trying to be as honest as we can. And they give the same to us, you know, and it's great respect with both fan bases.
And that's the way it should be. Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's another one for you on DeVito. No interceptions in the past three games, and they've won all three against the Packers, Patriots, and the Commanders. Mm-hmm. Take that what you will. That's just off the top of my head. That's a playoff team, a top five pick team, and a mediocre. So who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? But they might split the series against the Eagles, and that would suit us down to the ground.
Yep. Any given Sunday, Graham. Any given Sunday, mate.
Yeah. But look, before we get diverted and become the UK Giants podcast, let's talk about our own defense and the performances on our defense. And I mean, the standout number there, obviously, look, Stephon Gilmore, 9 tackles, was 4 more than anyone else. He really laid it on the line, as you guys both kind of alluded to, and plenty of comments have come in about this. AJ Brown called him old. I don't think AJ Brown is calling him old anymore.
Totally. Gilmore had one of his best games in the Cowboys, if not one of his best games I would say in his career. And that's a statement, because he completely nullified the Eagles in pretty much nearly every aspect. So, and he's been a fantastic investment. Like, what did we trade him for? Was it a fifth rounder or something like that?
Conditional fifth, I think.
They went after him. 9 tackles.
Yeah.
Stephon Gilmore recorded. Now, for a corner to register 9 tackles, you have to be targeted. Because they've stayed away from Bland. Hats off to Bland. Well, I had 2 tackles for loss from Jerome Bland. Now, from cornerback, that's pretty good. no pick 6 from Bland this week. Obviously, standards are slipping.
Yeah. Where's my pick 6?
But yeah, going back to Gilmore, 9 tackles for loss. So they went after him. Yeah. And he stood his ground. He's not done yet. I think Stephon Gilmore fancies one more ring.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, I think another player deserves a bit of credit as well, who did have a bit of a tipsy-turvy performance last week, is Donovan Wilson. I thought he had a much better game this week as well, because he was our second-best player in terms of stats. And like, he had 4 solo tackles with 5 total tackles all in. What was that say? Gilmore was coming in. So good.
Just more shade. The shade tonight, folks, has been top class. Thoroughly enjoying it.
For those who aren't seeing the picture here, or who are on who are listening on a podcast, Joe from Italy has put in, Gilmore was covering AJ Brown so well that when AJ Brown went to bed, Gilmore was there already.
Oh man.
And I'm just going to pull up this other one before I come back to you, Graham. Mark Anthony, I mentioned earlier the Stars are lining up for the Cowboys to take the number 1 seed. Like Achilles, or like Brad Pitt said in Troy,
immortality, take it, it is yours. Here we go. I had to do the tagline because I freaking love that movie. see, there you go. We've got Alistair Young make a comment. Like, it's like, see, I'm not the only one that thinks this. There we go. I'm telling you, I've got a weird sneaky bet. I think the Giants are going to beat them. It's going to be the split.
Yeah. But Graham, going back to you about Gilmore, there, I think you wanted to make another point on that, did you? Or was it on Donovan Wilson?
Yeah, on Gilmore. you know, when Diggs went down, we thought the sky was falling. Mm-hmm. Gilmore did have a couple of shaky games, but it's been a fantastic trade so far. So when you think, you could effectively, bar an injury, you could have Deron Bland as your third corner.
Yeah.
That in short means you're in good shape. That's pretty good. Are the defense the top 3 in the league?
I believe
top
they are.
Top 2, top.
Yeah.
Discussion's there to be had. Paul, you can have a quick
Google. I'll get the stats for you right now.
I mean, they're in the conversation, Graham.
Well, they have to be. Yeah. They have to be. But yeah, for Gilmore to deal with, I think he covered all 3 of them at one point, didn't he?
Yeah.
He covered all 3 receivers. Now, they're all ex-first round picks. Yeah. I mean, even Smith had I'll bring up the stat just now. Smith had a relatively quiet game. Brown did okay. Brown had 94 yards on 9 receptions.
Yeah.
But you have to think the volume got on that. The 9 receptions.
So I've got the, in terms of the total offensive yards given up, the Cowboys are currently 3rd in terms of least in total passing and rushing yards. In terms of points, we are currently 4th right now. So only Kansas City, Baltimore, and San Francisco are above us.
And this was kind of something I noticed from the highlights yesterday, which I saw, is that the Cowboys are playing very much a contain system in that, you know, they're giving that bit of cushion, but they're not they're not giving up enough cushion that players can get to that first down mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how the secondary is playing. Yeah, they'll allow you to catch the ball, but they're not allowing you to catch the ball at the first down marker and get a first down. Whilst the pass rush is effective, if a ball is going quick, you're not getting to the first down marker that easily.
Yeah. Yeah, totally, Brian. I just want to add something on top of this as well. And this is more to do with the injuries we've got here, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, right? Imagine if Diggs was not injured. Imagine LVE was still here. Imagine Overshawn was still here. Do you imagine the full potential of a fully fit Dallas Cowboys defense would be right now?
Mm-hmm.
It's freaking scary. And it's not often I use that word to describe our team. It's quite terrifying how good it could be when all players are available. I just had to throw that in there, sort of.
Yeah.
No. I mean, see, when you think the stat line for the defense is giving up no touchdowns against the former one seed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can get much better than that.
Yeah.
Bend, don't break, as they say. And I think that goes back to Brian, what you were saying is give them the easy yards, keep Jalen in the box.
Yeah.
You know, there's a formula there now.
Yeah.
Whether the Eagles manage to break that formula or not, I don't know. But I don't see how a quarterback that's played as many games as Jalen Hurts has, I don't see how a quarterback's throwing accuracy can get any better.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of have your accuracy set at a certain point in your career, and I don't see him getting any more accurate.
And this was the knock on Jalen Hurts coming out of college. And look, Mike is better positioned to tell us about this one. But I mean, there's a reason to was brought in a national championship game and won that national title. There's a reason Jalen Hurts then transferred to some trash school somewhere north of Texas, you know. Is that accuracy issue, that inability to play in the pocket?
Because let's be honest, if Jalen Hurts was so good, he would have been a first round pick.
Yeah.
Because even back when the Eagles drafted him, Eagles like, what the hell are we doing drafting a quarterback? We've got Carson Wentz at the time. So make of that if you will. There's a reason why he was a second rounder, and that clearly shows.
Yeah. But there's something I wanted to go back to, Paul, there, just in terms of what you were saying about, say, missing Diggs, Overshawn, LV. Yeah. If you look, and again, you spoke about it earlier, it's rotational players. It's guys like Marqueski Bell stepping in as a safety linebacker.
Oh, man, he's been phenomenal. It's been phenomenal. Marquise Bell's been phenomenal.
You know, Jamone Clark has stepped up massively. We always thought the potential was there.
Leading the tackles for the Cowboys right now. He's leading the tackles. He's like a guy that we got in the fifth round as well.
Fifth,
and obviously there was, and that's him, his first full season coming back from a big massive surgery. So this is this is technically his rookie season, effectively. The fact he's actually started training camp, he's going going through that whole process. So for him to ball out the way he's been playing right now, it's been fantastic.
Yeah. Graham, what are your own thoughts on players like Bell, like Clark, stepping in and what they've done this season so far?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Bell started next season as a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
He's been superb. Like Paul was saying, not from the safety position though. Yeah. I see him lining up at linebacker a lot of the time, and I think that helps the run game an awful lot. I mean, see, when you consider one of the Eagles' big weapons is the run. It's running back by committee, but it's still
very effective. Yeah,
it is effective. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Hurts can scramble and he can hurt you with his legs. I mean, let's face it, he didn't hurt us with the arm much, so he's got to hurt us somehow. Interesting when you think that the often criticized Cowboys defense didn't allow 100 yards on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or did they? Or was it just over? It was around 100 yards on the ground. Now, against 106. The Eagles, that's
just over, that's just over.
That is excellent. That shouldn't be overestimated, because that's huge. It's all little components that build up to keep in. Again, the former one seed out of the without a touchdown. I think that is the stat of the game. I know we put up 33 points, but for them to shut down that Eagles offense the way they did, I think that's...
Yeah, the fact is that we can rely on our defense and just keep Brandon Auburn in there, we'd still win the game.
I mean, Paul's got a list of these. He's written it all down during the day.
No. This is in here, by the way. This is right here.
But I just want to pull up Mark Anthony's comment again, because he's thrown in some priceless comments tonight. In the immortal words of Dominic Toretto, it doesn't matter if the Cowboys win by a point or a mile. Don't correct me. That's the way I heard it.
I can just actually picture Vin Diesel talking about his mad deep voice saying that.
I also like that Brad and Mann had a bigger completion percentage than Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Oh.
He did.
He did.
100% from Mann. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I just want to look at something
here, Graham, for a second. I think, I know, again, Mike would know this offhand, but Jalen Hurts' QBR on Sunday was 38.1. If you throw the ball into the ground, you would have a higher QBR rating than that.
Wow. That's the guy supposed to be an MVP? Get the hell out of here. Seriously.
Do you know it was like role reversal on Sunday night. That Sunday night was usually the type of game that gets Cowboys fans so wound up. The big moments on the big stage and choking. And on Sunday night, it was the completely opposite way around.
We rise to the occasion, my friend. Yeah, we rise.
That's so many. Think of the times in the past when we've been in that situation on the big stage and we've choked.
Yeah.
The next step is, can we play like that away from AT&T? Because obviously the Cowboys have got incredible form at AT&T. It's something like 17 games in a row they've won at AT&T.
This is 15 games in a row now?
15?
Yeah,
15.
The next big step is away from home.
Because the last away win we had was Carolina, and we're on a 5-game win streak right now, and our next 4 games are 3 away and 1 at home, and the next home game is going to be Detroit, where we're going to be having Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor.
Yes.
The Buffalo and Miami games are going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be cold in Buffalo. Well, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Check the weather forecast every day now. Yeah.
Guys, I'm going to run something past you, and I don't know if you'd agree with me on this. Would you both be happy if we split that series 1-1 against Buffalo and Miami, if we took a defeat in one of those games? Like, it's very hard to go, you know, like, we've 5 games now plus 4 and then 3 to get to the Super Bowl. 12 games in a row is very hard to do.
As long as we don't lose to Detroit, and it wouldn't matter. I'd be if we were to lose one of those 3 away games against the two games. Yeah. Yeah, against any of those games against the AFC, and if the Eagles were to lose one against their remaining NFC games, I'd still be okay with it. Like, because Buffalo and Miami, despite they're kind of having their like hair moment where they're starting kind of burning out, and Josh Allen is literally going to be, he's the leading guy in interceptions right now.
Yeah.
And you've got DeLone Brand there. You've got Gilmore like closing down Diggs. So, and you're going to have Trevon feeding his input about his brother, no doubt. So, I could see us beating Buffalo. It's Miami I'm more concerned about, if I'm being honest.
I mean, obviously, you'd never be happy losing a game. Mm-hmm. But it would be some achievement if we won all four.
Yeah.
I will admit that. Because I know exactly what will happen. And particularly in the UK Cowboys Facebook group.
Oh, yeah.
They'll blow up at Dak. They'll blow up at Mike McCarthy. And it's quite unfair, because our last four games involve playoff teams.
Yeah.
And it's tough to win on the road in general. But to go all four, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to... If we need to win all four, we probably do.
Yeah.
To get the one or the two seed. You know, if I get the crystal ball out, the Eagles might lose, let's be honest, one game.
Yeah.
They might lose one game in the run-in. If we lose one game, I'm not quite sure where it all stands. I know it's a lot to do with the head-to-heads.
Yeah.
But yeah, to go all four, to win all four games, don't know. It would be quite impressive.
Speaking about we're on the topic of number one seed here. I've just pulled up San Francisco's next four games. They've got Arizona away. They're at home to Baltimore. That's the big one, I think. Then they're away to Washington. Then they're playing LA Rams for the last game.
Yeah.
They could potentially get an upset as well.
Mm. Yeah. Like,
I wouldn't say it's a guarantee. I think for us, San Francisco and Philadelphia, anything could happen. Obviously, ideally, we want to win every single game. We want to achieve that number one seed 100%. But we do need to rely on other teams to cause an upset, because obviously Baltimore are in contention of trying to win their division. But I'm sure they want to try and claim, like, because obviously Jacksonville lost. Anyone's up for the number one spot in the AFC right now. It's ridiculous. I think there's like at least six teams they can actually still claim it based on all their records right now.
Yeah.
I've just looked it up. Just to clarify, they're not all four. We've got the Commanders in the last game. I got my schedule mixed up, but I wonder if the division standings will be done by week 19. I'm not sure. They probably will.
Yeah,
they probably will. Who have the Eagles got in the last?
Giants twice. I think Lions someone say Arizona as well.
I'll check with you right now. I've got it up now. They have Seattle next, then it's New York, then it's Arizona, then New York again.
The Cardinals. But in saying that, we had the Cardinals and we lost.
Yeah.
So who knows?
You just don't know.
Any given Sunday.
Exactly. Any given Sunday. Anything can happen. This is the crazy part. We're in crazy season. We're in December now. This is the crazy time for football. And as of right now, we are the better team in performance-wise out of these three teams, but it really does depend how the other teams are going to play against whoever they are playing against. Like, you've got Philadelphia versus Seattle. You've got San Francisco versus Arizona next. Both those games could actually be in our favor, and we might actually dismantle Buffalo in Buffalo, New York. And we're now in the pole position stage of going to be the number one seed going into the playoffs. Anything could happen.
Yeah. So we're nearly an hour and a half into the show. Mike is probably pulling his hair out right now.
What hair?
But I mean, look, we never finish up this show without giving a bit of love to our special teams guys. And I know we mentioned Brandon Aubrey earlier in the show, but I mean, look at it again. He's 30 from 30 on field goals. The previous record for a rookie was 18. He smashed it.
I think it's going to be very hard for a rookie kicker to even encapsulate what Brandon Aubrey has done. It's exceptional. It is, and worthy of an award this year, without a shadow of a doubt. His name should be one of the top names. Like, he's already been voted. I think he's one of the top votes for the Pro Bowl in terms of the kickers, anyway. If not number one, but he's been phenomenal. But obviously, we don't want him to go to the Pro Bowl for obvious reasons. Because if we're going to hit the,
And just to put everyone in mind at ease, he still has 2 years left on his deal. So we're not worried about re-signing Kaká.
I'm definitely getting 17 Aubrey then. That's the case.
But Brian, as we all know, it wasn't all sweetness and delight on special teams. What do we make of that? You've got to stay switched on. I haven't seen the playback. I just let it run. But I don't know. Do either of you remember what exactly happened? Did we give? Who was it that caught the pass? I can't even remember who caught it.
They gave him a caution. But I mean, that's kind of one of those once a season plays that you give up. Like, we had it was Chauncey Golston that we got a touchdown to earlier in the season. I'm trying to think.
Oh yeah, I remember.
Or maybe it was a 2-point conversion I'm thinking of.
In terms of special things as well, wasn't Bossman Fat responsible for quite a lot of problems as well?
Don't say that name.
He's gone.
I know he's gone, but... Gone.
Yeah, yeah.
I know he's gone, but he was quite responsible. He made some really silly rookie... third season, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Still making mistakes.
Yeah. I hear he's busy down in Miami making a rap album.
No, you could cut from them as well.
Yeah. But he has to do something in his off-season, Paul.
He started his rap career, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, his off-season started pretty quickly, did it not? Second round pick.
Well, it just shows that the draft is a lottery.
Is there anything else you gentlemen would like to discuss before we get out of here?
I think Elizabeth would like us to talk about Turpin. I don't remember anything specific on special teams, but that one end around, he took off. He was so quick. I will bring up that play.
Yeah. He will. It's only a matter of time he will go all the way to the house. Only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Because every time he has done it, it gets called back. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Like, we make those wee silly wee mistakes. It's like just maybe holding onto the jersey just a little bit too much is what's going to give you the flag, and it's going to get called back. So, but it might still happen in this season. We don't know, but we do have a special teams player. Like, we've got a lot of good moving chess pieces in this team right now, and we're going into the right direction going into these playoffs. let's be honest, if we do win this game against Buffalo, we are guaranteed at least the fifth spot in the playoffs, regardless. Because no other team can match us in the wild card for that.
Yeah.
So either way, we win this game, we're in the playoffs, regardless.
Yeah.
Do you think Turpin goes to the Pro Bowl?
I think so.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah,
just I don't think he's been particularly brilliant, but just because he's on national TV so much,
yeah,
I think he'll naturally just gain the kick returner or punt returner vote.
Yeah. He's also Turpin also has given us our utilities in terms of our offense as well. He has kind of given us that as well. So he's been a great team player for the Cowboys. So he has. Yeah. So let it may continue.
Yeah, for sure. But look, before we get out of here, Paul, give the shout out.
Yes, guys. If you're planning going to a Dallas Cowboys game, or if you're planning going to the Detroit Lions game this year, be sure to contact cowboysexperience.com for game tickets, stadium tours, meet and greets, and much, much more. For more information, please go to www.cowboysexperience.com, and also they can actually help you cater for next season as well.
Mm-hmm. And Graham, if you want to give a shout out for Thursday night.
Yeah, make sure you join Mike and the guys on Thursday night. They were looking forward to the Bills game. They will be getting their winter gear looked out, no doubt.
Bills?
Bills?
You said Bills.
Bills? We're playing a completely different sport.
we're not in Chicago, but all right.
we're just that good. Dak and those three-pointers. Unbelievable.
You mean Aubrey with three-pointers?
Micah Parsons would tell you he's a better basketball player than Michael Jordan.
Yeah. In fact, did Michael Gallup not do the... Oh, whose celebration was it he did?
He did the Michael Jordan celebration.
It was the Michael Jordan that was. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Absolutely, it was.
We've come full circle there.
Yeah. But look, gentlemen, I am going to say good night, and I'll pass it off to you guys to finish it up.
On the road, Graham, I want to save this last bit to last.
I was going to say what I think you're going to say, but I'll just say something completely different. I really can't say. Maybe it's cold out on Sunday.
Well, guys, you know what I normally say, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. It's Dallas forever, Philly for never. Screw you, Eagles fans. Yeah. Get it, Rooney's.
I've one more, Paul. Birds aren't real.
Cry, Eagles, cry. There you go.
Good night, folks.